Okay. So, this year, has anybody caught on to like the theme of the topic that we're kind of going through?
People.
With people. Okay. No, the theme of like what was our first series called? What was the first series that we were going over?
Planted.
Correct. All right. All right, and then the next one after that, what were we
watered.
Talking about? Watered. All right. So, what do you think? What do you think the theme?
Grow.
What?
Sunshined.
What?
Grow.
Growth. That's the focus of the year. All right, is growth. That's where we're talking about. It's like the growth cycle. And the objective, the goal is for us as Christians to be intentional with our walk. We started out the year. Before we even got into 2026, talking about Jesus and his life and everything that he did for us, all right? So we were kind of laying the foundation. And then we jumped into the series called Planted. Ethan, do you have a reason that your hand's up?
Oh, I was going to say it.
You're good, buddy. We've moved on. The goal of the Planted series was for us to establish a relationship with our Lord, Jesus Christ. If you didn't have one already, and then if you had one, it was to show you that if you already had accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what the journey of following him would look like. Now, with the foundation laid, with like the foundation of being planted, we moved into the next phase, which was our watered series. And in the watered series, the goal was to establish habits in our lives, things that we could do to help the seed that we had planted to grow. What were, like, habits that we talked about during the Watered series? Like, things that you can do on, like, the daily. Go ahead.
Like, reading your Bible.
Reading your Bible? What else? Anybody got anything else?
Praying.
Huh? Praying? Yep. There's another one.
Walking.
What?
Walking and talking with God.
Praying. But having our relationship. There's another one. There's another thing we talked about.
Preaching.
What?
Doing memory verses.
Yeah, hiding scripture in our heart. And these are all things that we can do in our daily life that will help us to grow, to help us to get the nutrients that we need to be able to just, you know, grow in our faith to grow in our faith. So this series, the one we're starting today, is called Rooted. For the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at character traits of someone who is rooted in Christ. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, Chris came in and he talked to you guys about growth. And he talked about farmers and soldiers and athletes. And he talked about the importance that, like, the farmer preparing the field. That sometimes, you know, they have to plow it. Go ahead.
Would I know who Chris is?
Chris Engle, tall guy. Abby is his wife.
Yeah.
Zona.
Like, doesn't he do little?
Yeah. Yes. They're in the E-wing a lot.
All right.
Okay. But anyway, he talked about the farmers and how they prepare the crops before they even plant corn. It happens like months in advance. Like Doug is, he plows the field and tills it, alright? There's no corn in the field during the winter. No seeds are in the field at all. And he's putting fertilizer down, in the soil, preparing the soil to take the seed that he's gonna sow in the springtime. Alright? And all that preparation for the crop is so that the corn, when it starts to grow, can grow healthy, and to bear fruit, you know, several months down the road. He also explained that what happens if, like, you don't have proper preparation. For those of you who are here, like, do you remember what he talked about, what he explained? Like, what happens to the corn if the soil isn't prepared properly?
The corn goes.
Yeah, it doesn't bear good fruit, and if we have, like, a windstorm or something, it falls down. It'll blow over, because the root system's not very deep. We probably wouldn't taste good either, but its roots weren't deep, and they weren't able to be established, so it wasn't able to sustain adversity, I guess. Drought, to wind, all the conditions that Mother Nature throws at it. What happens to a tree that doesn't have very deep roots?
It gets blown over.
Gets blown over. All right. What about, like, roses? You cut them from the roots, you know, and you put them in a jar. Put some water in there. But over time, what happens to them?
They die.
They die off. Once beautiful, full, vibrant, full of life, but cut from the roots and placed in a jar of water, now lacking a root system, they don't have the nutrients to sustain their appearance, so eventually those flowers will wither up, shrivel up, and they'll die. we have a vase at home that I was planning to bring to show you this example, because these are flowers that you, I think you picked, right? Yeah, that Miss Betty gave to Kendra, all right? And they still look like flowers, but they're all shriveled up. They're dry to touch. You can tell that they're struggling. The same thing happens to us when we aren't being obedient to the things that the Bible tells us we should be doing, which is the first character trait of somebody who's rooted in Christ. Like, this is the first trait we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about obedience and what an obedient Christian looks like that's rooted in Christ. Oh, I didn't get my... get your Bibles out if you got them. If you don't got them, there's a tote right here. We're full of them. Verse we're going to is Colossians 2, 6 and 7.
What?
I did not do this on purpose.
6, 7?
As I type it out, I think about it. When you get there, throw your hands up. Let me know you're there. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. If you have one of the church Bibles, shout the page number out.
The chapter is on page 1573.
Everybody there?
No.
Yeah. Wait,
Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7.
I'm telling you what verses there.
Jake, are you there? You want to read it for us?
No,
Adeline will read it. Go ahead. Abounding therein in thanksgiving. In verse 6, it says, so walk ye in him. What do you see after that? It says, so walk ye in him. There's a colon right after that, but is there a question mark? Is that a question?
No.
It's like a statement. It says, you have received Christ, so now you need to walk in him. You should was not used there. It says, so ye walk in him. It's pretty straightforward. It's telling us to do something, and therefore it is our job to be obedient and to do that thing. And in order for you to obey someone, you have to be listening to them, right? Like, you don't know what you're supposed to do if you haven't been told to do it. If we are doing the things that we know we ought to be doing, how do we know when God is telling us what to do? Like, if you're not doing the things that you know you ought to be doing, then how do you know when God's telling you what to do?
I just know by knowledge, like, what I'm supposed to do and not to do.
Okay, but if you're not in the Word every day, and you've got something happening in your life, a big decision that you want to make, all right, and you're trusting God to give you direction on that,
yeah.
But you're not reading your Bible, then how do you know if God wants you to, say, in a couple of years, it's join the military or not join the military? That's a big life decision. But if you're not reading the Bible, how is God going to be able to help you and direct you? You know, if you're not praying to him, you know, if you're not doing all the things that you know you need to be doing as a Christian to grow and to have a healthy root system, then you're not going to know when God's asking you or calling you to do something. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. I will throw out. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Because when we're just hearing the word every week, playing church, so to speak, and not doing the things that we are getting at church, we're not applying them, and we're only kidding ourselves. If we claim to be Christians, we are actually doing the things that we know we should be doing. We should be doing the things that we know we should be doing. Someone who is rooted in Christ is someone who listens to God's word. Takes it seriously and then is willing to live it out. Yeah, you can only play church for so long until, like, life starts to call you out, where things happen and things come up and you don't know how to navigate them or handle them, like you should. You know verses, yes. Like you guys, a lot of you have grown up in church. You have verses that you've heard, and you talk about God when it's easy, in conversation or at church or with people that you know are fellow believers. You talk about God then, but you're not obeying what He's calling you to do, like in your life. You're not investing the time in reading and praying and memorizing Scripture outside of the church life. The devil preys on those kind of people. The people that are just doing church, that are just coming here on Wednesday, coming here on Sunday, and then not living it out. Like, he's looking for people that are not establishing a healthy root system, whose roots are surface deep, is what I would call it. Like, they're just on the surface. The devil preys on people like that. He will pluck them up and he'll run them through the ringer. Like I said, Chris also talked about a couple weeks ago athletes and their dedication to the craft and mastering it. The true greats, LeBron, Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes, those guys, how do they get so good at what they're doing?
Practicing.
All right? Spending time investing in the craft. Like, to be truly good at something, you have to be great, like, you have to put time into it. But it's more than that. As an athlete, can you go, you could be good, physically talented at a sport, but can you go and play that sport, not knowing anything about it? Like the rules, you know? Like if you're gonna go play basketball and you don't know what a double dribble is, you know? Like yeah, you have a great shot, you know? And you can dunk the ball, but if you don't know that you can only take two steps and then the ball has to be out of your hands, you know? You don't know the rules. So you're gonna get called up for fouls or, turn the ball over. You gotta know the ins and outs. Also, Patrick Mahomes, there's a playbook. They have a playbook. It's given to them. They have to be studying these plays. They have to be reading. Patrick Mahomes doesn't, I say this, and he's probably not the best example. He's not just out there improvising. Sometimes I guess he is, but for the most part, quarterbacks or even basketball players, some of you that have played sports, like it's not all improv. You have a play. When you're dribbling the ball down the court, you guys are to set up in a formation, and people are to move. It's a coordinated movements. And in order to succeed at the sport, they have to be doing those things. So imagine you put in the time, you know, learning or practicing the sport and doing all the things that you know that you can do to be great and excel at it, but you never actually get to apply it. You never apply it. You never actually go out there and do anything with it. God gave us His Word so that we could live it out, not just so that we can come to church on Sunday and have people teach it to you and then never pick it up and never retain it or apply it to our own lives. John 14:15. Turn there real quick. When you get there, toss your hand up. One of you can read it if you want. John chapter 14, verse 15. Should be a very familiar verse. Everybody get there? Sorry, Adeline, I wasn't even there yet. But Ollie knows it. He got it. If you love me, keep my commandments. What does this verse mean to you guys? Go ahead.
Showing that you love someone is like listening.
Yeah. If you love me, keep my commandments. Simple, right? That's not a deep, deep verse that you have to break it down. It says, if you love me, then obey me. It's not more complicated than that. Love, our love, equals obedience. If you're saved and you have a love for Jesus and you know what He did for you on the cross, then you should be obedient to what He has for you in your life. You should be obeying. That obedience, when you're rooted, when you're truly investing in your relationship with God, when you're reading your Bible, when you're praying, when you're memorizing Scripture, that obedience carries over into like the rest of the things that you do in life. You get into a fight with a friend or a family member, and you forgive them, even though like sometimes it's not easy to forgive somebody, but because you're rooted in Christ, that you're being obedient to what He's given you, you choose to do the right thing, even when it's not easy, even when everyone else that you know is doing the wrong thing, you choose to tell the truth, you choose to be honest, even when you know that the outcome isn't going to be favorable for you, for kids, you're out driving dad's golf cart around the neighborhood and you accidentally, run into a tree. All right. You gum it up, but you know, like, you can't, you just go and you tell dad. It's easier for me just to go and be honest and tell the truth. I know I'm probably going to get in trouble because whatever reason. But at least telling my dad, he knows, instead of just driving it back home and parking it in the garage and walking away like, I don't know what happened. The tree came out of nowhere and just ended up in our garage. The point is, like, being rooted and living your life means that you're living your life differently. Like, you're not like everybody else. Having a good root system, a firm foundation, you know, means that you're different. People will notice that. People see that. In my life, I know that people recognize those things about me just by the interactions that I have with them. Meeting somebody for the first time, they may talk one way. After a couple times of meeting them, they start to talk a different way just because, like, they know that I've never done this or done that, or they haven't heard it from me, so they just start to modify how they act or whatever. If you're rooted in Christ and you're being obedient to what he's calling you to do, then you're going to be bearing fruit. What does bearing fruit mean to you guys? Like, what do you think it means?
Sharing the gospel with other people.
Sharing the gospel, what do you got?
I was going to say
keeping what clean?
Different.
Okay. That's washing fruit. So anybody, you're not wrong, Link. And washing the fruit is important if you're going to eat it. Ethan, anybody else got any other ideas on, like, what bearing fruit is?
Sharing the gospel.
Sharing the gospel is what, that's what Lincoln said. What did I just ask? Bearing fruit. Okay. Being obedient. Bearing fruit. When you plant corn or tomatoes or pepper or anything in the ground, and you don't give them the proper nutrients, like, do you think that you're going to get big, huge, ripe tomatoes?
Yeah.
Huh? No. Probably not. What about, like, peppers, corn, anything like that? If you don't give them the proper nutrients that they need, then they're not going to have, like, a good deep root system. They're going to struggle to produce fruit. You're not going to see a bunch of tomatoes on the plant or a bunch of peppers on the plant, corn, whatever it may be. But if you give them all the stuff that they need, if you're doing what the proper amount of water, the proper amount of fertilizer, the proper amount of sun, the proper amount, like, all the things that they need, then they're going to be strong and plentiful, and they will bear fruit. Stay in John. Go over to 15 and verse 5. Another verse that should be very familiar to most of you. Go ahead, Adeline.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, ye can do anything.
When you're abiding in him, when you're abiding and having a relationship with God, then you're going to start to see fruit in your life. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. When you're living your life for Jesus, when you're abiding in him, the people that you're around are going to see the fruits of the Spirit in your life. They're going to, the people we're sharing with, people will notice that we are different. People that we want to be more Christian or more Christ-like, they start to exemplify things that you put out. Like, people start to act like you. Caleb talked about this when he was talking to you guys last week, like, the impact that you have on the people around you. The impact that you have on somebody doesn't just happen in an instant. It's the more time that you spend with them. The more time that you invest in somebody, the more that you either start to be like them or they start to be like you. You might not notice it in your friendships, but friends, the more you're with them, they might say something that you used to say. Or they start to pick up on things that you do and they start to do them themselves. And the same goes vice versa. You see things that they do. I don't know, what the skibbity or whatever, like 6'7", like that, somehow that came to be a thing, and everybody does it, right? Because somebody saw somebody do it, for whatever reason, people laughed, they saw the impact that that statement had, and then now everybody does it. The more time that you're around somebody, the impact that you have on them will start to be greater and greater. So we want people to be like us. We want them to see our lives, realize that we are different, and then start to exemplify and or live out things that we are putting out in our own lives. And hopefully, you know, when we invite, like, we want to be inviting people to church. We got the paintball things. Like, we ask you guys, you know, sharing the gospel is how you can bear fruit. Like we just talked about, this is a way to bear fruit, inviting somebody to church. You invite them to church and show them how you're living your life. And ultimately, down the road, hopefully, they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, just as we did. It's important, though, that you understand that it doesn't happen because, like, you're trying to make it happen. Like, people don't become like you because you're forcing them to. You know, like, people, the impact we have isn't like we're not forcing somebody to be a certain way. They just see it and they do it themselves. It has to be a decision that they make on their own, not because you are trying to make them do something. The key word in that verse is, for me, is he that abideth in me. To abide in somebody, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to you guys in that verse? It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. To abide in something means to, like, spend time, to be with it. You have to be spending time. Like the plants in the vase. In order, you know, if you're not spending time with in the Word, in the Lord, or with the Lord, you're going to be like the plants in the vase that I was talking about, disconnected from the root system. Over time, they slowly start to wither and fade and not to die out. We have to stay abiding in Him, or we too will suffer like the plants do. All right, now 1 Corinthians 15:58. That's where we're going next. I don't have a favorite verse.
15:58.
I would say, but if I did have to choose a verse right now, yeah, this would be my favorite verse.
1 Corinthians 15:58.
I do need someone to read it.
But,
no, 15. 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Therefore,
were you asking? Sorry, Elias was there a minute ago and ready to read it. He was going to read it for us. Did you find it, Cam?
No.
1 Corinthians?
Yeah.
Do you have the church Bible?
Oh, brother.
You're in second. You're
in first
cross. Chronicles. See? Being in the right place definitely makes an impact. All right, Eli, go ahead and read it for me.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast and unmovable. Those two words right there. To me, like, in the whole thing that we're talking about now, about being rooted, I think about, like, a large oak tree. We have several, like, massive oak trees in our yard. We have a lot of trees around our yard. And when it's really, really, really windy outside, you can look up at the tree line and you can see the canopies, the trees moving. Just, they sway. And it's crazy to think about how big a tree is that it's moving. But the things that aren't moving is these oaks. They're just, the limbs might be moving a little bit, the branches, but the actual tree itself is just standing. It's steadfast. It's unmovable. These trees are probably 100 years old. Their root system has to be just drove deep, deep into the ground. The big oak trees in our yard.
Like in your
yard? Yeah, they're all over the property. But yes, the big ones in the front yard, right as you come around the driveway even there's a massive oak tree. And they don't move. When the wind's blowing, they're not swaying, they're not moving, they're steadfast, they're unmovable, they're rooted, they're strong, they're ready to weather any storm Mother Nature can throw at them. Being a Christian is not always going to be easy. Life is going to throw storms our way. We're going to be faced with temptation. The devil is going to throw anything and everything that he can at you. When you have those devices in your hand, he's going to put apps and things in front of you, in your path, to try to steer you astray. We will doubt things. There's things in our life that we're going to face and struggle with. We're going to have doubts on whether or not we should be doing that, if that's what God has intended for us. We're going to have struggles with our friends. We're going to get in fights. We're going to get to have arguments. We're going to be, relationships that you guys may have, family. People are going to try to get us to do things, especially over the next several years, peer pressure. Like, people are going to try to get you guys to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. But we are called to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're doing what the Lord is calling you to do, if you're investing and applying the nutrients to your life, like we talked about in the last series, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're doing those things, then rooted Christian, like you're faithful. You're being faithful to what you're asked to do. And rooted Christians are faithful. They're committed to what God has for them in their life. They are obedient to what God is telling them. We have to be doing the things, we have to be doing the things, living our faith, living out our faith. I kind of already got skipped ahead of myself, but yeah, like, we have to be focused on the impact that we have on the people around us. This is like Caleb talked about last week. We have to be focused on what we are putting out there, and what we claim to be. We can't just be playing church on Sunday, coming on Wednesdays and doing all of those things, and then outside of church, not exemplifying that to our friends, not putting that out to the people that we hang out with. People will notice that. People will see how we live our life, you know, and then it'll be convicting. You'll be called out on it. People will be like, hey, you know, you claim to be this way, but every time I'm around you at school, you know, this is how you act. It makes it really hard for you to try to invite somebody, a friend, to a church function. You know, you're like, hey, come to church with me. And they're like, wait, what? You go to church? Or like, I don't know, man. I don't know what your church is like. You know, it's hard to try to lay the foundation in their life if you're not living it out in your own life. If somebody sees you cussing and talking disrespectfully and acting this way in everything that you do outside of church, and then you invite them to church and you have to put on this whole different face and be a good church kid, that's a hard thing to do. You're trying to live two different lives. If we don't treat others as we want to be treated, they're going to notice. They're going to see that. And that impact that we have on them, the impact that we're trying to have if we are inviting them to church, is not going to be as great as we want it to be. So as we close out for today, I got a couple questions that I want you guys to like think about this week. Things for you guys to ponder on and mull. I don't need an answer at any point. This is just stuff that I want you guys to, when you're walking even to church, just reflect on it. Why do you think like being obedient is hard sometimes? Like, why do we struggle doing what we are told? Why is being obedient hard sometimes? Why do we struggle with what we are told to do? You don't have to answer. I just think about it. If you have an answer, then keep it to yourself. The second question that I have for you guys is, what can I do to make sure that I stay rooted in Christ? All of you guys know your walks better than I know mine. Or better than I know yours, I mean. You guys know what your life outside of church looks like. So what can you do to make sure that you stay rooted in Christ? Or to phrase it a different way, to feel like, or to put it to those of you that maybe don't or don't feel like you have a relationship. If you're not rooted in Christ and you don't have a relationship, then ask yourself, what is stopping you from digging in your roots? Like, what's holding you back? What on your day to day, on your week to week, what's holding you back from actually digging your roots in and actually applying and doing the things that you guys hear from us on Sunday and on Wednesday and Pastor Brian in Sunday after youth. So we'll pray and then we'll get out of here. Who wants to pray us out?